Ayo, personally, I think I'm underrated, if nothing else. Ayo, personally, I think I'm underrated, if nothing else. Ayo, personally, I think I'm underrated, if. Ayo, personally, I think I'm underrated, if nothing else.
You are listening to Just My Thoughts with Graffiti Blue on Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture is.
The queen of what? The queen of hearts broken? Possibly. The queen of humility not spoken? Humbly. The queen of everything hot like steam? The queen of broken dreams? The queen of a fear that makes lovers turn mean? Incredibly. Does a queen cause her king anger? Maybe. Does a queen turn a king who was her best friend into a stranger? Despicably. Does a queen refuse compromise with the backbone of her throne? Does a queen insist that she rule the kingdom on her own? I'm sure this queen exists, but tell me, where does this queen rule? Is the land she conquered glorious, and is her king a fool? The queen of what? Please tell me so that I can see if the people she rules had smiles on their faces. Are her subjects loyal to her, no matter what the case is? A beautiful queen she is indeed, inside and out. And I don't have a single doubt that a queen is exactly what she is, from the tip of her toes to the diamonds in her crown. However, when I decided to take the route of seeing what being her king was about, I was asked to get on my knees, and at first I was more than willing to bow down. But she asked me to stay down. And then I was only allowed to stand when she said it was okay for me to do so. I told her I couldn't rule in a position where I wasn't on the ready. On my feet, side by side with her, and that kneeling for long periods was for the petty. Not to mention I had kneeled for the previous queen already. And before you get beheaded, they put you on your knees while they hold their sword steady. So, kneeling isn't a good look for me. So please tell me, you are the queen of what? What land do you rule, and do you ask me to kneel and jest? I'm confused and not quite sure why you would even make such a request. My love for you, right, is a right knee to the earth, connecting me with the divine mother, forcing my ego to take a backseat to all the things beautiful in your soul. My respect for you is a left knee to the earth. I listen to your feminine perspective and hold a high regard for the wisdom you unfold. Now that's two knees. Any more and I will be on all fours. Like a good dog whining when he wants some affection. Begging for spiritual food and attention. Kept in the backyard for the house's protection. Unable to stop the mailman from sliding letters through the slot. Or the tax man from getting his collection. Queen of what? Indeed, you are a queen, you're just not the queen of me. Perhaps in another life, one where there's no insecurities. A land where butterflies fly free as the summer breeze, as do the flowers sway that they choose to land on. A land where the earth is free to spin, yet steady enough for a king to stand on. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dudes and dudettes, the sexy and the not so sexy, big children and little, welcome. You are listening to Just My Thoughts with Graffiti Blue. I am he, the novelist, author, poet of the Poet's Pursuit of Pleasure series, most notably. And I'm into a whole bunch of other things. Shout out to Culture Zine Media and the Zulu Nation. Peace to Sharkey. Peace to Vaughn Lynn. Whether you're on the East Coast or the West Coast, I figured for this particular podcast, we'd talk about love and hate. Now, all of us have experience in love and hate, but let's go to Wikipedia and see what the official definitions for love and hate are. Let's start with hate. Hate, verb, feel intense or passionate dislike for someone. The example of hate in a sentence is, the boys hate each other. Synonyms for hate, loathe, detest, despise, dislike, abhor, execrate. Or it can be used as a noun in a sentence, intense or passionate dislike. Feelings of hate and revenge. Synonyms, hatred, loathing, dislike, distaste, abomination, aversion. That's pretty funny. I never really have used abomination in a sentence. And working on my seventh book, I feel like I need to up my vocabulary. I need to use the word abomination in a sentence. Hey, you are an abomination. Well, maybe not. Let's go on with love, as if any of us need to know the Google or Wikipedia definition of love. But let's go there anyway. For shits and giggles, love, noun, an intense feeling of deep affection. Example of love in a sentence, babies fill parents with an intense feeling of love. Synonyms, fondness, tenderness, warmth, intimacy, attachment, endearment. Another example, a person or thing that one loves. For example, in a sentence, she was the love of his life. I've been there. Synonyms, beloved, loved one, love of one's life, dear, dearest, dear one, darling, sweetheart, sweet, angel, honey. My personal belief, for those that have been listening to a few episodes of this podcast, you know that I am a spiritual brother. You also know that I will take every show and put it, any subject, in its spiritual context. I am not here to try to convert atheists into believers. I am not here to convince you or try to persuade you of something you're already convinced of. This is just me. However, if you walk in spirit or you're even remotely curious about the spirit, this is probably a good look for you to be listening to this podcast. Now, my own personal experience, I'm just that type of guy, but according to the Wikipedia or Google definition, that there are plenty of people that I hate, right? Let's digress. Hate, feel intense or passionate dislike for someone. Ha! I have a serious feeling of intense, passionate dislike for many people. By my own definition, I don't hate anybody, though. And I'll explain this in its spiritual context. For all of you within the sound of my voice that have experienced love on its highest level, regardless if it was puppy love, whatever, if you felt that euphoria for someone at any time, it could have been for your spouse on your wedding day, it could have been the first time your lady told you that she was having your baby, fellas, ladies, it could have been, even if you're not with that bastard right now, it could have been the time where your man got down on one knee and proposed. That feeling of intense euphoria, floating. I am in love, right? Fear is the opposite of love, and hate is definitely the cousin of fear, along with ego. That's another story and another show for another day. If hate is the opposite of love, so if you felt euphoric on one end, that means that you would have to absolutely have extreme loathing on the other end of that, that you would have to feel almost lower than the low. Now, I have to admit, I have had some low points, but I never really stayed there. I never looked at an ex or a one-time friend turned foe. I never looked at them. I may have wanted to choke the shit out of them at one time, but that it didn't last long. You know, you move on, right? You have disappointment. Somebody disappoints you. Somebody gives you the feeling of betrayal or what you perceive as a betrayal, and then you kind of move on. Whereas in with love, even if you are not in love with that person, many times, at least from my own personal experience, I have loved them and still love them. I may not be in love with them. I may very well know that to love them has a certain karma that comes with it because they may be a selfish motherfucker that takes advantage of your love. But I have rarely, at least, reached a hate level. Now, I have to confess, I definitely considered putting hands on somebody in a terminal way, but that never came to pass because I'm just not that kind of dude. I think we all have the ability, if it was us or them, to kill or be killed. We certainly do that. That's just a human nature. But to sustain hate actually seems pretty exhausting, to be honest with you. It takes a lot of energy to hate somebody. It takes a lot of energy to have that, to hold that kind of anger. It's a burden to you. You can love somebody and feel light. You can love somebody and be walking on a cloud. You be mad. You ever be mad for a whole day? All you want to do is sleep, right? That shit is exhausting. I'm just saying. We're going to pay some bills, and we will be right back with the Love and Hate edition of Just My Thoughts with Graffiti Blue after this.
You are listening to Just My Thoughts with Graffiti Blue on Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban cult lives.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dudes and dudettes, the sexy and the not-so-sexy. Looks like we got somebody who just walked in the building here at the offices of Graffiti Blue Publishing. Welcome to the podcast, ladies and gentlemen, painter extraordinaire, organizer, EbonyLondon.com. It's Ebony London. How are you, dear?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. Looks like you have something to say. Just to catch you up, we're doing the Love and Hate edition, first podcast of Just My Thoughts by Graffiti Blue. And I'm pretty sure you heard the meat and potatoes of the podcast before you got all comfortable in your chair. Is there anything you want to add, subtract, or maybe correct to what I was saying?
Nothing that I really want to add, subtract, or correct. It's more of just a comment.
Okay.
I think that it's not hate that is experienced after love fails or seemingly fails. I think it is the change. I think what people don't understand is that they shouldn't take someone's changing of their mind or changing of their heart to heart or to mind. I think, and maybe I haven't been deep dog in love, but I have been in respect in regards to allowing someone to change their mind about being with me or loving me.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I agree with you 200%. I mean, I've been deep dog in love, and I've been, you know, I've been that guy, you know what I mean? All of a sudden, you know, you talk about marriage, the possibility of what that may look like, and 2 weeks later, somebody doesn't want anything to do with you. You know what I mean? I never hated that person. Mm-hmm. Really, it was impossible for me to have hate for that person, regardless of how it went down, because at the end of the day, I experienced love. In the Fear and Love show that I did with my beautiful brothers and sisters of the Faithful Few, one of my favorite lines to that piece is, how is it possible for love to be a loss? You know, I looked her right in her eye in real time. I told her, I said, I wanted her to be happy even if it wasn't with me. And I meant that with all sincerity. Now, does that mean I want a bag of popcorn and some juju beans and a freaking cherry Coke, and I want a front row seat to watch her running down the street with, at that time, at that very minute, with her, the new man, the new baby, you know, running into the limousine, you know, just married with the bells going on? I don't think I'm that strong. you know what I mean? But at the same time, I could see that now, you know what I mean? Now, and I could freaking smile. Hell, I'll even throw rice. You know what I mean? I'm good. And it's not that. And even while it was happening, I never thought that I would never be strong enough to see her happiness and feel maliciousness. You know what I mean? Or feel some kind of way.
I understand. I don't think it's hate that anyone experiences. I really think it's just change. That's all you experience. And your mind, body, and soul, and heart, they all have to change. In most cases, it's unexpectedly.
Have you, even though you might not interpret it as hate right now, has there ever been a time where you at least thought you hated somebody?
No. There has been a time where I was not understanding of how they can just change their mind and their heart, where I was concerned.
Well, you know, fear is a big proponent of that. We haven't even touched or skimmed the surface of fear-based decisions. But I think I can see, well, at least now, I can see quite clearly how you could be so gripped in fear that it would change your mind. I've seen, you know the term frozen with fear? And where somebody could be crossing the street and have plenty of time to cross, but then they see a car speeding at them and they're just frozen, like they can't make a decision.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or somebody maybe too scared, you know what I mean? Like not just sitting still, but you know what I mean? A big ass, grown ass man, you know, 6'11". You know, 280 pounds, and would jump up on the chair when he sees a mouse. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I don't know many dudes like that, ladies and gentlemen. We're just hyperbole for the sake of the story. But, I mean, that thing does happen.
It does.
So, I can certainly see how you can almost be too good for a relationship. Fear makes you see what you want to see. You know what I mean? Hate, people marinating in that fear, I think, gives them a false sense of hate. I agree with you. Hate is not essentially what they feel. But I do believe it's pain. I do believe that fear, because it's not a love decision. It's either a fear decision or a love decision. And if you have any of the byproducts, which could be hate, I don't think that's a love decision, but I see it could be very easy for you to look at somebody as maybe too good for you. I could see how people could maybe perceive themselves as broken. And maybe they like, wow, I'm not necessarily worthy of them. I wrote a whole book in my series, my second of four, Intimate Rivals. Some people are in a competition state with their mates. You know what I mean? You had no thoughts of being an entrepreneur until you got with an entrepreneur. And instead of just maybe him or her inspiring your ass to be an entrepreneur, you don't only want to be an entrepreneur, but you want to be a better entrepreneur than the person who inspired you. Okay. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with wanting a Padawan student wanting to be better than their master. That's not what I'm saying. A good master will teach their Padawan how to be a badass and kick their ass. And you're a real badass if you could teach somebody to kick your ass, right? So, I'm talking about people that look at it as a badge of courage if they could make more money than you as an entrepreneur, have more pseudo success as an entrepreneur. So there's a ton of reasons why people about face. But I have a question for you, Ebony London. Do you think that people that change their mind on a dime, although I do believe it's a fear-based decision, do you believe they kind of knew all along that was a possibility? Because it seems sudden to the people it's happening to, but it definitely seems contrived, you know what I mean, in hindsight to anybody who it has happened to. Because how could you just wake up one day and be like, you know what, I'm done?
I think, and this is coming from a woman's perspective, mid-30s, after a certain age, a woman can meet a man, and she can know within minutes, within maybe days, what she will accomplish with that man. She already knows what she's going to give that man of her, and what she's going to invest in that man. And the more she knows him, it might change, it might increase what she's going to give or accomplish with him, but she knows instantly how far it's going to go. She knows if she's just going to give him some booty, and she knows if she's going to allow herself to be loved and loved by him. A woman knows this. Let me back up. A woman who knows herself knows this. There are some women who are just hungry, and they're giving themselves, their full selves, to anyone who has a fork and knife. I don't think around the women around my age, if they do something like that in regards to making a man think that he is the one, and then seemingly out of nowhere decides to tell him that he is not even in the race anymore. I don't think that that's something that she just woke up one day and did. I do think that that was something that she was paying attention to, or she was paying attention to him, trying to figure out if he fit in what she was trying to accomplish. Because women around my age, we already have a plan, and we don't mind adding people to the plan, but you have to fit in the plan.
See, now that always bugs me out about that, and I agree with you. I agree that it was... Woman's mind is an interesting thing, and I think there is much contrivement as there is spontaneity in there. You know what I mean? I think because a lot of women have a lot of definite ideas or perception on how things may be, I think in the confines of those color lines, it can be hella spontaneous. But you better believe everybody in her circle, you may live or die by her perception of what that circle is supposed to be. That being said, I'm really not mad at how the game goes, man. My faith is as such, is that no matter what heartache I may have ever experienced, it was always time. You know what I mean? The same way love has a funny way of happening, love has quite an efficient way of evolving. And unfortunately and fortunately, sometimes that evolution is extremely sudden, abrupt, seemingly unwise at the time. But no woman has ever said, you know, woke up one day and says, okay, Mr. Graffiti, I'm not going to love you today. And that love wasn't replaced. That might sound like some arrogance statement to all the people within the sound of my voice. That might sound like some real pimpish-ish right now. But that is the reality. There is no person of my past of any kind. No matter how freaking fine she was just like, you know what, Graffiti, you are not the freaking one. I'm dumping your poet bald headed ass today. And I didn't get that love back in spades. I never was malicious. I've never ever tried. I'm not gonna act like I haven't dumped someone before. Or, you know, I'm not going to act like, oh, you know, I'm in these long, super serial monogamous relationships and something always happens and I always get the freaking axe. I've been on both sides. I've been the good boy and the bad boy. But yeah, that love was always replaced. Absolutely. You know, one of my favorite poems, the ending of it is, I learned to love again. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's what? There aren't many things that give you the faith that love gives you. Especially after you've been devastated by Johnny, whoever, Sally, whoever. For all my strip club dudes, if you got your heart broke by freaking Fantasia, Starlight, or Bambi, should be loving them hoes anyway. Anyway, but especially for anyone who has had their heart broken or been disappointed, and to love again, ooh, that new love after the old love has passed, what gives you faith? Like that feeling when that heart is filled with light again, and you never thought you'd feel that, and you don't even remember that pain that you had. You don't dwell on it. You don't think on it. Hell, you don't hear songs from them from that time period of the present of darkness. You don't see remnants of it. The sky seems a little brighter. The breeze at your back seems a little stronger. It's just bizarre. So, but that's talking about circular things, and we're gonna have to save that chat for another day.
You are listening to Just My Thoughts with Graffiti Blue on Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dudes and dudettes, the sexy and the not-so-sexy, big children and little. I'm the novelist, author, poet, Lamont Anthony Wright, a.k.a. Graffiti Blue. You're listening to Just My Thoughts, courtesy of Culture Zine Radio Network. In Culture Zine Media, peace to the Zulu Nation, peace to Sha Key, peace to Vaughn Lynn for giving me the opportunity for a brother to have his own show, man. That's crazy. Yeah. We'll be getting to know each other on this podcast. And one thing I want to do is I want to keep it thorough, keep it exciting, put everything in a spiritual context, and agree or disagree with me, at least make for a compelling show. Now, there is much to be said about love. There is much to be said about hate. There is much to be said about fear as it relates to both hate and love. And I could, quite honestly, be very long-winded about every topic, laying it out as the Spirit would like me to do. But why would I do that when that topic was already addressed in poetic verse? So a better idea for the second half of this podcast is to just add the fear and love poetry cipher that the Faithful Few, my collective and poetry sisters and brothers, had already addressed in poetic verse. Why not put the audio on the tail end of this podcast? So that's how we're going to close out, ladies and gentlemen. I am going to put the fear and love poetry cipher that was performed at Laughs Unlimited in downtown Sacramento, or Old Town Sacramento, earlier this summer. It was heralded as one of the Vanguard shows of 2015. I'm pretty sure you will love it. Me and my brothers and sisters got a standing ovation. Let me shout out the members of the Faithful Few before I sign off. Those members are as follows: the poet Stanley Ray, the poet Diva Cat, the poet Destiny Robbins, the poet Phoenix Divine, the poet Russell Cummings, Coon the poet, and of course yours truly, me. Before I sign off and let the audio do what it does, I want to give a special thank you to Ebony London. She is a phenomenal talent and an amazingly wise individual. She's got more soul than a crock pot full of red beans and rice, ladies and gentlemen. I ain't even playing when I say that. Thank you, Ebony London, for your contribution to this podcast, and for all of you out there in Radio Land. Go to ebonylondon.com. I have a few pieces of her artwork hanging on my wall myself. She is that chick with the paintbrush. She also does organizing, so please go to ebonylondon.com and show your love. I'm out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, take care of yourselves. Love everybody, but love yourself a little bit more. And don't forget to adhere by the Holy Trinity, which is empathy, love, and faith. Empathy is just basically having empathy for those who do not think as you and I. Especially if you're listening to this, that means you're probably a critical thinker. Or the button on your iPhone is stuck. Either way, have empathy for those who do not think like you. And there's nothing wrong with being the only one who thinks like you, because guess what? That means you're a standout. Let's have love for those people that do not think like us. My spirituality tells me that no soul is greater than another soul. So just because they don't think like you, don't feel as you do, don't believe as you believe, does not mean that you are great and they are little. It does not mean that you are big and they are small. It does not mean that you are that ninja and they are a piece of shit. It just doesn't work that way. We should embrace the differences as much as we can. And finally, faith. Having faith in the process. It is my personal belief that there are no accidents, there are no coincidences. Even if someone hurt you, that pain was for a reason. My personal testimony is that I have never walked in love, walked like love walks, moved like love moves, and experienced a loss. It's just not possible. How can it be possible for love to be a loss? But that's another show for another day. So enjoy the audio of the Fear and Love Poetry Cipher. And I will see you guys next Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Enjoy the verses, ladies and gentlemen. Your boy is out.
You are now tuned in to Just My Thoughts. This is Robert Taranza, came down from the mountaintop. Maybe trying here somewhere, but I've still got that plug in my ear. This is that podcast with you.
Lost in a hidden city, where divergent artists and dancers are enslaved and bound by their own dreams. While other primitive planets, such as American Idol, X Factor, and The Voice, have captured some of the greatest singers in the world, there's only one planet left for artists, where the world's most renowned record labels and judges travel the galaxy looking for the next big thing. Sign up now. Get discovered. Get a $50,000 to $100,000 check. Get a record deal. Register online now. Go to www.thenexttoblow.com. Spaces are limited. Act now. You could be the next to blow. www.thenexttoblow.com.
Fear. I no longer love you in love. I no longer fear you. I'm ready to have a heart-to-heart with you and discuss some of our issues. So let's talk. I'm ready to hear you. I say, let's talk. I'm ready to hear you. Let's talk. I'm ready to hear you. I say, let's talk. I'm ready to hear you. 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 I'm ready to hear you. Fear. I'm
ready to hear you.
I no longer love you. And love. I no longer fear you. I'm ready to have a heart-to-heart with you and discuss some of our issues. So let's talk. I'm ready to hear you. I say let's talk. I now am able to hear you.
Ultimately, all thoughts are sponsored by love or fear. This is the great polarity. This is the primal duality. Everything ultimately breaks down one of these. All thoughts, ideas, concepts, understandings, decisions, choices, and actions are based in one of these. And in the end, there is really only one. Love. In truth, love is all there is. Even fear is an outgrowth of love. And when used effectively, expresses love. I come to the child and the bouncing ball. Child. Chases a ball into the street. Car's coming. Child does not know that it's about to die. Mother sees this. What does she express? Fear or love? She experiences both. She experiences the ultimate expression of love, which is fear. We will discuss those lineages. This is the cipher.
It was about last year, when my mother shared with me the truth about my fear. You know, the weight that I've been carrying started when I was about 3. It was never really about me. Everything that I've been battling my whole life all stemmed from her dream.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dudes and dudettes, the sexy and the not so sexy, big children, little children. We take a pause from the Fear and Love poetry cipher to allow for the healing process. Welcome to Self-Destruction Addicts Anonymous. This is where we teach you one thing, how not to sweat that which does not matter. Worry is just about the worst form of mental activity there is, next to hate, which is deeply self-destructive. Worry is pointless. It is wasted mental energy. It is bad for your health. Health will improve almost at once when worrying ends. Worry is the activity of a mind which does not understand its connection with God. Fear is the opposite of everything you are. Fear is worry magnified. So that we won't self-destruct, we must face our fear with testimony. Ladies, speak your truth.
The palpable shame that occurred when our relationship came to an end was especially difficult because children were involved. I was filled with bitterness, resentment, and pain. She not wanting anyone to know how horrible she had been. But if there was any other way, I would have self-destructed just to save what we had because I'm an addict of my own destruction and I love others more than I love myself. See, I was taught that self-love was synonymous with hate, but here I am, trying to get some help. I'm in between numbness and mind-searing pain because I can't self-destruct, because somewhere along the way, she loved me entirely too much. Perhaps it was the way her eyes would sparkle when she spoke of my beauty, or how she would smile at me when she said that I was an amazing creature and would scoff at me when I claimed to be human. Or maybe it's the way she bent down to tie my shoes before I went to work, catering to me like Beyoncé. Or her intoxicating kisses gently but firmly placed upon my neck that always seemed to tingle in an extra special way. It was something about the way that I was drawn to her, born 11 days apart, and I knew that there was something special right from the very start, something that wouldn't let me leave. It was like she was a twin to my flaming heart. See, somewhere along the way, I started to believe her. Believed in all the crazy things that I wanted to do because I believed in the beauty that she said was within me, because it was the way that she looked at me that very first night. She looked at me as though she had seen the light, and it was the way that my stomach jumped when we kissed. Waking up the next morning face to face after telling her that I don't ever sleep like this, but as hard as we loved was as hard as we fought, perhaps even harder because I was too terrified to leave, terrified what would happen to her without me. And so I stayed. And before I knew it, 9 years had gotten away, and I was thoroughly confused in every way. She was pushing me and pulling me every day. Her manic moods left me feeling shell-shocked and blue. It was the day when she threw my trust away and contacted her very first love. She said, it was an attempt to give her all to me, but I couldn't, and I still don't understand that philosophy. Not after 7 years and being in the process of adoption, too. I put my whole life on the line, and here she was holding on to her heart when mine had been open from the very start. It was the day when she asked me, did I love myself at all? It was this day when my fear finally gave pause, because on this particular day, I realized that I never really loved myself at all. I had given so much of myself that there was nothing but broken promises and unfulfilled dreams in a life where nothing is as it seems. And then there was the fateful day of February 28th when she pressed so hard that I finally had to say that I couldn't stand to be with her, that I couldn't take any more pain, and that I was making a decision in the best interest of me, a decision based on love, which turned out to be the first of many. I'm starving from a hunger that can't be replenished with food. Without love, my soul is dying, and I need soul food. See, all this time I thought that I was loving myself by helping everybody else, only to find that love was really something else. Love is making a decision to be everything that the Creator wanted me to be, no matter how scared that I might be, to live out my ultimate dreams, and if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't be here. I would still be locked in my room, not using my voice, but I had a choice. And so I faced my fears. I faced who I thought that I was supposed to be, evaluated who I'd come to be, and realized that it didn't align with my authenticity. I had become everything that society told me to be, not realizing that I had this beautifully creative spirit inside of me, just waiting to fly like a butterfly. Fly, butterfly, fly. So I learned how to fly on shaky wings, enjoy the beauty that the solitude of life brings, until one day, I landed and realized that I'd finally conquered the self-destructive me. I had to bare my heart for all to see, fanning the flame of inspiration and humanity, but every day my heart, it soars just a little bit more. And yours can too. Just do all those things that the Spirit nudges you to. Those little things that you always wanted to learn. Those things that you always wanted to do. Those things that inspire and bring passion to you. Do those things. Because that's what really matters most. The world needs more of you. It needs the things that only you can do. The story that only you can bring. Only the words that you can say, write, or sing. We need you loving you and sharing what you do. The world needs more love. L-O-V-E. Life's one valuable emotion. Love.
My fear was being afraid to be myself. Can you believe that?
Girl, no.
Being afraid to embrace what the Lord has given me in fear of my calling. Knowing that He created me to be more than me, yet I succumbed to the power of my own secret enemy. That was fear. My debilitating disease. A disease that took me on trips that I'm far more greater than, actually holding my dignity in my hands, haunted by my past that still invisibly surrounds me. You see, I was taken too early. Innocence lost to men that didn't see me, didn't see to protect me, only violate me. I learned early about the powers of the flesh. Penetrated at 13 by someone at least 3 times older than me, so I never knew how to love me, at least not completely. I didn't allow myself to flourish because I was convinced that I didn't deserve it. See, the fear had saturated me, held me captive to a mistaken identity, one that only the enemy used to control me. Fear is what the unnourished soul sees. Only muddling through life on the what ifs, what could have been, instead of what was right in front of me, loved wrongly, accused falsely, chose people in my life to uphold this mediocrity, all in fear.
She clears her disillusionment to take sight of her inherent path marked for her before birth.
She seeks to find her purpose in this life. Shaken by her perspective, she marches on claiming what was stated hers.
Until I realize that fear is false expectations appearing real, faith erased absent from reality, I lived there. Consumed in the what if, shoulda, woulda, coulda been instead of being. Giving over my soul because that's the only thing I had control of, not knowing that that thin line between fear and love was the only real consistent thing to me. I was just not breathing. Until I realized I was created in love. He reclaimed in me love, and I want to love more. Stepping out on faith to see what's behind those unopened doors so I could see more than what fear can produce. And you know what I discovered?
Tell me about it.
I found out that fear is that thing that lives in a superseded prison in our thoughts that is false. Anxiety-stricken minds filled with forms of rejection that doesn't even exist.
The voices in my head constantly told me to
be afraid. Be very afraid.
They said,
run away, Simba. Run away and never return again.
By that time, I was so deep in discontent and low self-confidence that the voices telling me to run appeared heaven sent. When your worst enemy and your worst fear becomes the conscience that you endear, and the only voices that you hear are constantly pumping you with fear, your dreams can become nightmares real quick. And this may seem simple, but it's real-ish. Hiding behind accomplishments, hoping for validation. Validation and love. Because as you are looking at me and swearing that I have it all together, I am looking at me and saying, destiny, do better. But the reality is that I've had something rotting in me, and its root is fear, manifested by abuse and violence. And right now and right here, it's time to break the silence. I'm not trying to make excuses. But as statistics prove, many children suffer abuses. I was violated by a man that I thought represented safety and love. Let me take that back. I was annihilated by men that I thought represented safety and love, but it turns out that they represented sickness and lust. Now my whole world has sunken into mistrust, and the main one who hurt me tore down my whole family. This man I knew since I was a baby, he was my own stepdaddy. Shh. Sworn to secrecy is how fear continues to spread. But I will no longer be afraid of the monster under the bed, because each time I discovered the fear was only in my head. Tired of carrying this burden, as many women do. So I've walked around in confusion, married to an illusion, not being able to distinguish love from fear. And let's be clear, at one point, we all couldn't separate love from fear. So I began to denounce my worth, only dating losers. Somehow my new addiction became abusers, predators who only wanted to destroy my mind. So I have a fear of settling for anyone who will show me attention and time. But I'm determined to be a survivor instead of a victim. Hi, my name is Destiny, and to me, love equals freedom. And if you judge me from my past without understanding me, then that's your loss. I can no longer be stuck in regrets and fear. It's time to move on. No more social anxiety, constantly worrying about people judging me. No more settling or telling myself that I'm less than. No more self-destruction. I've suffered enough destruction at my own hand. And no more judgment from you. So if you think my life is easy, then take a walk in my shoes. If you are without sin, here I am, cast a stone. Please do it now, because I've learned right here and right now before you and God above that in the past, for myself, I've never made a decision rooted in love.
I'm ready to put the fear behind me. I went soul searching to find peace, and I found her. Standing right behind me, she says she wants to stand beside me, and I think I'm ready to love again. I'm ready to love again. I'm ready to love again. I'm ready to, I think I'm ready to put the fear behind me. I went soul searching to find peace, and I found her standing right behind me. She says she wants to stand beside me, and I think I'm ready to love again. I'm ready to love again. I'm ready to love again. I'm ready to, I think I'm ready to. My journey's now making sense. See, us meeting is what was meant to be. See, we compensate for our weaknesses, we made them strengths. We both lost our tolerance, but he gave us as another chance. Past love left us paralyzed. We helped us feel through those circumstances. We chilled. It wasn't about romance. We built a solid friendship. She had discerning eyes. Could tell I'm the type of man that listens to God as I drive. She knows that she's in good hands. She keeps my peace while she's by my side. And even in danger, she doesn't panic. She could tell I'm a soldier heart and would never leave my own kind abandoned.
I remember how fake I was when the word real was popular. Now I know better and do better, exposing truth passionately. A dragon doing his best to breathe fire with his mind as a pilot light. Inspiring those who inspire me with testimonial melodies. The loyalty of a heartbeat giving you love to the last breath. I serenade the female form with a culture that's lyrical. Going deeper than most surface dwellers. Going to the depths of pain and emerging with joy. I wear it proud like a traveler with nice per diem. Glory be to the magnificent, even though love on its highest level is praise enough.
I'm really digging your flow, big bro, but what has that got to do with fear and love, though?
Well, I had to begin with a digression before I went in on this lesson. So for all who didn't see the fear and love in that, excuse me while I bring it back, I said,
I remember how fake I was when the word real was popular.
I feel you, Blue, and I'm digging what you're spitting, but let me know if this is an accurate description. Back before you knew better, your love was all about the treasure. In pursuit of a woman's kitten that was smitten, you were basically just pretending. Pretending to be the being she needs for the time being it took you to accomplish your mission. Is there anything I'm missing?
Not at all. You caught that for real, though. Now back to this verse, romance flow. Being a proficient lover of women never inspired them to love me back properly. Fear is one word with many dynamics. If man and woman don't approach their union as one body, they have static. Building a house with love in my one and only marriage. We were doomed from the start, building on a foundation that lacked courage. Her decision to build the house with me was based in a fear of growing old alone, as well as a fear of facing life's many dangers on her own. You see, she saw me as a guardian, which actually wasn't a problem then, because I was ministered by the type of men who did everything to protect and enforce the divine feminine.
But King, I think you misunderstand what divine feminine means. To protect a queen, she must first sit on her throne. She must not be afraid to rule alone. She is the perfect male counterpart, delivering pure wisdom to his warring heart. How can she be these things if decisions made in fear is an everyday thing?
No disrespect, Queen. So excuse me while I take ownership of my own My fear was of not being good enough. Always in the bad habit of trying to fit in people's lives and stuff. Never asking myself honestly if they were a good fit for my life, let alone were they worthy and such. So now you have a foundation sponsored by thoughts of fear and built on lies. Hot damn. Love at the house on top, quickly sinking in quicksand. Now the fear of loss kicks in, forcing new lives to manifest. But how is it possible for love to be a loss? First off, human beings are not property. Second, a soul's purpose is to experience what it chooses to experience. So with love as the choice, love not only helped me let her go, but it told me to hold the door open for her. Ha, love matters as well as good manners. Glory be to God. Look at me, I'm all polite and she. You see, loving myself kept my ego in check. Ha. Now y'all know how that ego gets. Twisting the truth, making you feel like they've committed a disrespect. But you disrespect yourself when they want to leave and you don't let go. Let our voices echo. Let our values endure. Look, observe, verify, enjoy. You missed that, so let me say it once more. L-O-V-E, let our voices echo. L-O-V-E, let our values endure. L-O-V-E, look, observe, verify, and enjoy. L-O-V-E, the decision is yours.
I know you're scared. You should ask us if we're scared too. I know you're scared. Me too. Me too. I know you're scared. You should ask us if we're scared too. If you was there and we just knew you cared too. It just got warm out. This is shit I've been warned about. I hope that it's storm in the morning. I hope that it's pouring out. I hate crowded beaches. I hate the sound of fireworks. And I don't know what's worse about knowing it's over or dying first. Cause everybody dies in the summer. Wanna say goodbye to them through the white spring. I said everyone's dying in the summer. So thank God for a little more spring. I know you're scared. You should ask us if we're scared too. I know you're scared. Me too. Me too. I know you're scared. You should ask us if we're scared too. If you was there and we just knew you cared.
I dream of you. you get when you open up the box and it's open.
That's a good feeling. Wow.
The feeling that you get when you slide your toes in.
And it feels right.
The feeling that you get when you strap around your ankle real tight.
Got the good work.
And then stand up and you're 10 feet tall like an Amazon. You have permission to body however many shoes you like. From Giuseppe tonight, I promise I will treat them nice. I'll frame them, why I might even name them. If it's a dope shoe, I'll claim them. Huh, this is the best week. Polo boot, thigh high, golden loop, platform with the hardware done by paper box. I throw on some lace socks, so cute, open toe flat, slammed out straps, suede boots by Madison. Got my silhouette etched in, so elegant, so relevant. Can you handle it? She killed me.
This is Andy S. You're listening to Just My Thoughts, and when I'm not tuned into the whole improv world and the mystical lands we travel to, I love listening to it.